Hi there and welcome.
You're listening to Animals and Us, Voices of a New Paradigm.
My name is Avantika and I'm a researcher exploring animal consciousness, environmental sustainability, and planetary health. I want to help bring animal perspectives to the table and transform our relationship with the natural world.
And I'm Barbara. I'm an animal communicator and retired veterinarian. My true passion is exploring the hearts and souls of animals and helping people come to a much deeper understanding of who the animals truly are at their core.
This podcast is for anyone who loves animals and nature and has an interest in their own personal and spiritual development. We'll bring you powerful conversations with fascinating people about animal and nature sentience, consciousness, and communication.
Thank you so much for joining us on this journey of love, respect, understanding, and care for the fellow beings who share our beautiful Mother Earth with us.
Hello and welcome to Animals and Us, Voices of a New Paradigm. We're so excited to be with you here today on this very special episode where we're going to hear a little bit more from our podcast co-host, Dr. Barbara Shore. Today's episode is all about her new book, Soul of the Wild, The Wisdom of Elephants. And here's the book. So excited to have the book here in my hands. And we're going to get right into it and get to know a little bit about the story behind the book, what it was like communicating and connecting with the elephants, and what Barbara's journey has been like learning from them and talking to them and getting to know them on such an intimate level, and then sharing that all with us. So Barbara, welcome to this episode.
So exciting to be here with you.
Yeah. And we're excited to dive right in. So let's get into it, Barbara. Tell us how this book came to be. So just so everyone knows, Barbara has written another book before this one, where she speaks to the elephants and the whales in that book. And then several years later, she wrote this book, which is published a few months ago, focused exclusively on the elephants. So Barbara, tell us what happened since your last book came out, and what encouraged you, what prompted you to write this one exclusively about and with the elephants?
Well, that was a process, because I thought I was done with elephants and whales. Been there, done that. And just a few years ago, I don't know, maybe 2019, 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, the elephants came in and they said, we need to update the book. We need to write some new material for the book. And I said, what? I don't want to do that. I wanted to get on with it with other species, you know. And they said, what they said over and over was that the information in the book is really important and it needs to get out in a bigger way. And that they had some new information to share. And it took me some months, I must admit. And then I said, okay, let's do it. So it took me a couple years to get through it. And you know, editing the old stuff and adding the new stuff and figuring out what goes where. It was a bit of a process, but here it is.
Amazing. Well, you said that the elephants told you that there was more they wanted to share. There were things they wanted to, you know, update, things they wanted to tell us. So how would you describe the purpose of this book?
I would like to read something that the elephants told me in the book. Mm-hmm. So I'll read it from their perspective. Wonderful. They're the ones that started this. So yeah. I'll let them speak. So they said, in this book, we do not focus on what is wrong, but rather what we hope to achieve by coming from a higher place. There are no easy, quick solutions. The solutions to all the ills on this planet can only be solved from a consciousness different from that which in which they arose. And this is what we portray in these writings. As we see it, the only way to change reality is from a higher perspective, meaning more aligned with spirit or God or higher consciousness. And from this place of love and peace, to envision and create a different way of being on planet Earth. a way that honors all beings, a way that respects each individual's right to exist and thrive, a way that works with others for the common good, a way that sees the welfare of the whole as more significant than the temporary satisfaction of the individual. Wow. So that's what they wanted to say in this book.
Wow. So having read the book, I can really see how, you know, each chapter really dives into each of those things. Like there's a lot of advice they want to give. There's a lot of insight and wisdom they want to share with us. So that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. One thing that I found different about your last book and this book as well, compared to other books I've read, is that it's really a conversation, like a back and forth collaboration between you and the elephants. It's not like you've taken what they've said and then summarized it or paraphrased it, right? It's really conversational. So can you tell us what that process was like? How did you sit down and connect with them and receive this information from them the way that you've shared it in this book?
Yeah, it's actually not a very different process than I had with the first book. You know, it all comes the same way. So I'll just describe how I get the information. Maybe that will help someone else. So my way is to just get really quiet. I go into a meditative state, but that doesn't mean I have to meditate for an hour. I just, you know, I've gotten used to doing this, so I just get quiet. And then I do some grounding work into the earth, so I'm not out there, you know, outside my body. And I do a brief prayer or invocation, calling in the soul of the elephants and my own soul, all of our divine guidance. And I ask for protection. And then I ask the elephants or whoever I'm speaking with for permission to speak with them. And that comes in pretty subtly. And then I start asking questions. And for me, the information comes through a lot like my own thoughts. It's not some booming voice out there, but it's like my own thoughts. And over time, I've just learned to discern what's mine and what's not. And when I'm really in that space where the writing, where their voice is coming through, it's just so cool. It's like the writing just flows, you know, it just comes in. I think it bypasses my mind almost and goes straight through my heart and onto the paper. So it's a really wonderful process, and I'm grateful that I can do it.
Yeah, it really is pretty cool, I have to say. Did you find yourself, you know, sitting down for like a few hours at a time, you know, asking a question, receiving their answers, and then almost like an interview, you know, if you needed clarification or if you had a follow-up question, you would put that out then through your mind and then receive an answer?
Exactly.
Something like that?
Exactly. Okay. It's just like an interview, like a conversation like we're having,
yeah.
You know, and if I didn't understand something, I would ask, yeah. You know, or something didn't seem right, I'd say, are you sure? Is this really true?
Yeah.
And they would go into a whole thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is in the book.
I love how in the book, they speak so casually, you know, like they're talking to a friend, like, dear Barbara, you know, or let us tell you, or here we go, you know, like it's funny. It's heartwarming and endearing, you know, it sounds like a conversation between, you know, souls that really trust each other and have this deep connection, you know?
Thank you for that. Yeah. That's really how it feels. You know, I've thought about validation signals. You know, how do I know when I'm really talking with the elephants or the lions or whoever it is? Mm-hmm. A lot of times I get teary. That's my sign that I'm going deep, you know.
Yeah.
Other people have different ways of determining what's true for them. But for me, I think it's because I'm so touched. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so loving. They're just so loving. And I feel such love.
Yeah.
So it's a really sweet and beautiful process. And they're not only my friends, they're my teachers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have been my great spiritual teachers throughout this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did you know that they were, you know, when you came to, I'm sure it wasn't a linear process, you know, writing this book and all the different pieces that were coming together. But how did you know when they were, when you were kind of like, when they were done sharing what they wanted to share, or they were ready for it to move on to the next phase? Like, was it that obvious, or did you just feel like, okay, this is everything they wanted to share?
Yeah, that's more like it. Like when you have a conversation with a friend, you don't talk for, you know, 3 years nonstop. Right. There's an ending, right? You can feel it.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's just the same.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, one thing that you talk about in your book that is pretty important, I think, is in your own personal journey, this feeling of doubt that you had early on when you were starting to communicate with the elephants, and you would wonder if they were actually speaking to you or if you were just making things up. You didn't have proof or any way of knowing that you were actually receiving this information. And then some things happened along the way that really helped to give you that validation and help ease some of that doubt that you had. Can you tell us a little bit about what has helped with the doubt and the, that desire for validation?
Yeah. And the doubt still stays with me sometimes. I mean, it's quite a little character, that doubt. And I know just from hearing many, many other people speak about animal communication, many, many, many people have doubt, skepticism. Mm-hmm. So it's really a hurdle to overcome. For me, there are several things that have shown me that I'm on track with the elephants, because there's no way to prove this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, from wild animals. One is that some of the information they gave me, sometimes years ago, has been proven to be true scientifically. One of the things that really touched me a lot was them telling me years and years ago that they send information through their footfalls, through their feet in the earth, and that they can receive it also. And I'd never heard anything like that, you know, but I just had to trust what they said. And some years later, a woman named Dr. Caitlin O'Connell did some studies on elephants in Namibia. And she proved that they do send signals and receive signals through their feet. But the depth of the information was something the elephants told me that I haven't really read. It's kind of like just from their perspective that they can sense, they tell me, they can sense other elephants many miles away. They have a sense of how big of a group it is, what kind of a mood they're in, you know, if they're anxious, if they're babies with them, if there's a bull in must. Must is a state of enhanced sexuality in males when their testosterone levels are high, and they can be quite aggressive at that time. It's the time they want to breed with females. So all these things they can detect simply through listening to the earth or sending, you know, just through their walking on the earth.
Wow.
And so that's one thing. I learned about infrasonic sounds, which is how they relay information through the earth. It's so fascinating. They have these, what are called Pacinian corpuscles on their, these cells that are on their feet and at the ends of their trunk that can help them detect these sounds. So that's one way that I've learned to trust it. And another is just through experience. You know, for years I've worked with people and their companion animals doing private mm-hmm. sessions. And so many times, people tell me that what I say really resonates as true for them, or the animal's behavior changes. You know, they're just different ways of telling with domestic animals, a lot easier than the wild ones.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's so true. I actually didn't even think about that much, actually, that with the companion animals, the domestic animals, you can validate things in a different way, or, mm-hmm. you know, from the humans that are there companions that can kind of speak on their behalf a little bit. But with the wild animals, yeah, that's so interesting that, you know, that kind of validation is totally different.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've said, really? This is really coming from the elephants?
Yeah.
I mean, they've told me these far out spiritual teachings that are like, really?
Yeah.
But I just don't get it now.
You know, like this book, there's such a diversity in the types of conversations you have with them. You know, there's some things you're talking about, very practical day-to-day things. They're telling you about, you know, what their lives are like and all of that. And then there are other conversations that are very deep and very abstract and very spiritual. And so there's just this variation in, you know, how deep you go with them in these conversations is so interesting. So from all of the conversations you've had with them, has there been anything that they've shared with you that has really surprised you or impressed you or something you just, I mean, of course, you know, you're telling us right now, you're like, wow, really? Anything in particular that you would say that was really, you know, particularly surprising for you?
I think that what's been most surprising for me all along is the depth of their wisdom and their spiritual nature, their consciousness, and also their compassion. I mean, they're very loving and compassionate beings, and extremely emotional. All these things, it's nothing I learned about in school, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm just constantly in awe of who they are.
Yeah.
And my wish would be that other people could really get a sense of that. And my belief, just to go off track for a minute, my honest belief and the reason I do this work is because I feel if someone could love these animals and respect them the way I do, there's no way you're going to want to hurt them in any way. Mm-hmm. And I think if we could have that kind of love and reverence for all beings, including other humans,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be the end to all the wars and the hatred and everything we're seeing so exacerbated right now in the world.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that this book and your previous book really help us do is connect with these animals in a totally different way. And I think I wrote that in the foreword as well, is that like, I couldn't have learned all these things about the elephants from anywhere else. You know, mm-hmm. you know, you can watch documentaries, you can watch movies, you can read books, you can read, you know, scientific literature. You can, of course, go to a zoo or a sanctuary, but to get this entirely other perspective on who they are on such a deeper level is such a treat. It helps us understand not just elephants, but other animals in a totally different way. And I think that's really what this podcast, Barbara, you and I are trying to do, right, is really just show people a whole other level of depth that they may not know about that these animals have and the respect that they deserve because of how wise and loving and compassionate they are. Yeah,
exactly. You know, for so many years I've been doing this work and people, the vast majority of people thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know this, but now it's becoming I wouldn't say animal communication is mainstream by any means, but it's becoming more acceptable and accepted. And just as we've seen with this wonderful symposium that Avantika coordinated, we had over 700 people from all over the world. And it's just becoming more accepted
mm-hmm.
that animals are conscious beings. And I'm really, really happy about that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a big part of this is also accepting that there are different ways of knowing, that there are different ways of learning things and learning new information. You know, of course, there's a place for the scientific evidence about things to come out, but there are also our own lived experiences that are also important. And so if people start having their own experiences connecting with animals and their relationship with the natural world transforms, that's pretty powerful, you know, and the science is coming, right? The research is coming. So, That's really my hope is in, 5, 10, 20 years, we can actually see both of those things coming together, that we have evidence and we have some scientific literature about how this happens and how we do it. So,
yeah.
There's a part of the book, Barbara, where you and the elephant speak about grief, about how deeply saddened and disturbed so many of us feel by what's happening to elephants and other animals today on our planet. And you tell them that despite trying your best to stay positive, to stay uplifted, to stay optimistic, that you still grieve when an animal dies, especially when it's unnecessary and brutal. Can you tell us a little bit about how the elephants respond to this kind of emotional suffering that we go through as humans, and how this grief and guilt and disappointment and anger, hopelessness, how all of these kinds of negative feelings that are so heavy, how these can lead us to positive action?
Yes. And I'd like to read you something directly from the elephants again.
Yeah.
As long as you live on this earth, you will suffer emotionally when something happens that hurts your heart. It is part of the earthly experience, and it cannot be changed unless you decide to close your heart entirely and live without compassion. They're speaking to me here, but it's for everyone. You have consciously chosen to be more compassionate, not less. And with this compassion comes pain, but it also brings great joy. When something loving and positive happens to yourself or another, you feel happy. But you cannot have great happiness without the pain, or vice versa. It's all about an open heart and allowing yourself to feel. So many people these days have shut down emotionally and don't let themselves feel. It's just too painful and they can't cope. They've become the living dead. Do not think something is wrong when you grieve the loss of something precious. There is a deep connection you feel with physical reality, with physical bodies. The loss of someone can be painful, especially if that death comes with violence and abuse. And in truth, this is what can lead to positive action. So I asked, how does grief lead to positive action? And they said, grief opens the heart and can lead to righteous anger, which is a much more conscious form of anger. This is different from the anger that leads to senseless violence. Righteous or holy anger creates a sense of passion about making changes so the tragedy that was experienced can't occur again. The action that can result from directing that anger can be powerful and life-changing. So what they taught me a lot about in this book was spiritual action, that we can all take some spiritual action through prayer and intention. But we also had another conversation where I said, well, spiritual action can't be enough. I mean, that's not gonna change our physical reality, is it? And they said, no, spiritual action is not enough. Some things are unstoppable, such as the Earth's own evolutionary process, but human-caused pollution and destruction can certainly be quelled by conscious action. This can take many forms, but the only effective action is undertaken by loving attention to the guidance of the divine. We, as physical beings living on Earth, are so limited in our capacities, but our souls know all. When someone acts from an open heart and embodied soul, everything is possible. So our best advice to you and other human beings who truly want to help us and to make a positive impact on this planet is to open your hearts, listen to the callings of your soul, and be prepared to act according to that divine inner guidance.
Wow. I love how so much of what they teach and share with us comes from a place of love. You know, you might think or assume that, humans have done so many not so good things to the natural world. We've taken advantage and exploited our natural world in many ways. You might think or assume that they would be angry or they would be frustrated or disappointed, but everything that they share in this book and in your previous book just comes from such a place of love and compassion and gentleness, you know, that like empowering as well, that we all have within us what we need to get the guidance we need every step of the way. So I love that. That really resonated so much with me in both your books, is just you feel uplifted just hearing what they have to share and their advice.
Yeah, as I've said, I'm just always in awe of their capacity for compassion and forgiveness. And we've had some conversations actually about there are elephants that are destructive, you know? They might kill people or raid crops or damage property, all kinds of things. And what they say is their nature, their base nature is peace and love and all that stuff, but they're in physical bodies. And when their needs aren't being met or they're being harmed in some way, they can get angry just like we can. So it's not that they're always peace and love and all that sweet stuff. You know, they have emotions too, just as we do. But at their core, at the soul level, from my experience, they are extremely loving and compassionate.
Yeah. And also on that note, it's also important to probably share that in this book, they also do share the reality of what we're doing. You know, it's not all, they're not, of course, they're forgiving and they're kind and they're compassionate, but they also do give us a reality check throughout this book about what they're going through and what we need to do differently. So, and you know, that brings me to my next point, which is that I think throughout the whole book, we hear again and again that they see all the good that we have in us and all the potential that we have for unconditional love and goodness, which is so touching. They're so aware and cognizant about the harm that humans can cause too, and the challenges and shortcomings that we have as well. But over and over again, there's this sense of respect for humans, for who humans are and what they're capable of, and the faith and the optimism that the animals have that we are making progress and that we're capable of continuing to make progress, and that each of us, we have the inner capacity and the capabilities and the things that we need in order to remember who we truly are. Can you comment a little bit about that and how hopeful they are for us and how we can actually make the changes we need to see in the world today? Because they seem to have so much love for us and faith in us despite all our shortcomings.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded now of the whales when I wrote about the whales, because the elephants, of course, are like this. But I remember I was so struck years ago when the whales, who have definitely been harmed terribly, what they said is that we see humans as builders and creators. All these amazing things that humans have created, the buildings, the art, the music, the skyscrapers, the planes, all these things. No other being can do that on this planet. And they were just so struck by that. And the elephants have said that humans are the only ones with the capacity to create a better world. You know, they can do their small part in their own area and they just live day to day. But we are so capable of changing our entire planet, you know. No other beings can do that. And because of that, we have the responsibility to do it, you know. And they're with us all the way. And they've told me over and over again that they want to work with us. If people could open up to really listening to these animals and working with them, I mean, what could we accomplish, you know? So, yeah, that's just who they are.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to those who are listening who are curious if they can also communicate with elephants and have these types of conversations with them? Is there anything you want to share with them from your own personal experience, or anything that the elephants have shared in this book about our ability connect with them? Any advice you would give?
Yeah. The elephants discuss at length how telepathic communication works. And we were going to say this at the end, but I'll say it now. Yeah. We're going to do a special episode where I read that chapter from the book, how communication works. But they don't say how to do it. They say how it works. So I think we all have that ability in different ways. And people can't expect that they will get words like I do, or some people have images, you know, they see images. Some people actually hear voices. Some people have dreams about animals during the night. So there are many, many ways to receive information, and it just takes practice and knowing what your way is and not trying to compare. That was a mistake I made early on. I tried to compare myself with other people who received these beautiful images and symbols and metaphors and stuff. It didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. So I finally realized that I'd been doing my writing most of my life, and that's how the messages came for me. But I want to say that in order to be a really good communicator or channel for these messages, I think it's very important for people to do their own personal inner work, you know, mm-hmm. their personal growth work, because it's so easy. You know, it is hard to prove this in the moment that it's true. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to take a course and think you're an animal communicator. Well, it doesn't always work that way. I think it takes a lot of practice. And if you're not working on yourself with your own negative issues, we'll say your own shadow, it's really easy to project that onto the animals and think it's coming from them when it's not. It's coming mm-hmm. from you. So there has to be a way for people to discern what's their stuff and what's from the animals. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from practice. It comes from being aware of your own gifts and your own faults, your own insecurities, and taking all that in, and then just be as authentic and honest a vessel for truth as you can possibly be.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I guess it takes time, it takes dedication, consistency. And you had also mentioned at the beginning about getting permission from the animals too when we reach out and we want to establish a connection. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I didn't know you said that it was a very subtle feeling, subtle way of knowing that you have permission. But I'm just curious, you know, as some people may start to dip their feet in this and try this, what does that look like? How do we ask for permission and know that we can continue on with the conversation?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I think for me, I'm thinking, you know, especially when I've worked with people and their dogs and cats and horses and that kind of thing, that I will just get quiet, like I said, and do my prayer or invocation. And then I'll just take a minute and feel into the animal. See who's there, you know, and maybe spend a few minutes just in my mind being with them, mm-hmm. maybe touching them, maybe stroking their body if they're wound up, in my mind, not physically, but just being in their presence and getting a sense of who they are. So we're connecting at that level. And then I'll just ask if they're willing to speak. And almost always they are. Mm-hmm. And I'll just, it's like I said, it's very subtle, but mm-hmm. sometimes it isn't subtle. Sometimes they're, whoopee, here we go. You know? And sometimes it's just very quiet. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just creating that connection.
Yeah. Sincerely. That's, and right.
With, I will with sincere. Say mm-hmm. that creating that connection, I think, comes from putting full attention on that animal from a loving place, because love is huge in this. If you don't love the animal, if you have some animosity in some way, it's not going to be authentic, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So love, and then full attention and focus on that animal, giving all your attention to them and not worrying about what you're having for dinner or whatever it mm-hmm. is, but giving them your full attention. And what I've learned too, which is kind of interesting, is that often when you give them your full attention and you're genuinely listening to what they have to share with you and feeling into them, that in itself can be a healing. I've had times where I've just talked to a person about their animal who's having some kind of issue, and we just talk on the phone and I'm getting ready to do my session and all that stuff, and the animal's hearing it and feeling it and they're already doing better. So I think that connection is critical and done in a loving way with full attention.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And like we said, you know, the elephants share a little bit about how telepathic communication works in this book. So that's definitely really interesting. I wanted to give our audience a flavor of all the things that are discussed in this book in addition to that. So I have a bunch of chapter titles here that I want to read off just to share, you know, the variety of conversations and how interesting this book is. And then I'll have a question for you at the end, Barbara. So here are some of the chapter titles. Like we said, How Telepathic Communication Works, The Elephant's Mission, Hearts, Trunks, and Feet, Bulls and Matriarchs Speak, Renewing an Ancient Bond, Elephants and Humans Living Together, Elephants in Captivity, Zoos, Circuses, and the Entertainment Industry, Culling, Poaching, and Hunting, Pain, Death, and Transcendence, Elephants in the Sky, Like Dumbo, Guidance for Business Owners, Healing the Earth, Earth's Ascension, and Future Vision. Wow. I wanted to share that list, and that's just, there's more chapters as well, but I wanted to share with our listeners just the different kinds of conversations you get into with them, which is so interesting. So Barbara, tell us, in all of these wonderful conversations you've had with them, is there a favorite part of the book for you? Is there a chapter that you particularly enjoyed or one that's close to your heart?
I would say the one that I'm most excited about still is, it's called Elephants in the Sky. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a weird title.
Yeah.
But it came from an actual experience I had, not just connecting with the elephants and writing it down. This was experiential. And it was so profound for me. This happened, I think it was 2014, so a while ago. And I was on a mountain. I live in Ashland, Oregon. And I was on the mountain with several friends. And we were connecting into the stars and the star beings and all that stuff. And suddenly I saw, in my mind's eye, I saw this whole huge semicircle of elephants of light. There were all these elephants without physical form, but they were these light bodies shining down onto the earth. And what I heard was that they were elephants who had died. And they were pouring light onto the planet to other elephants, but also just to the earth and all of us. And I felt such joy and elation that my friends and I started doing this elephant dance on the mountain. We were stomping around and waving our arms like trunks. And it was just this joyous moment. And that image of those elephants has come to me so often over the years when I start to lose hope and I feel so sad about what's happening to the elephants. And I realize that even in death, you know, they go on and they're still shedding light and helping us all. And you know, in their elegant elephant bodies.
Yeah.
So that's been really meaningful for me.
Wow. Very nice. And that chapter is a little bit different from the others because you are sharing your own experience. You're sharing a story of yours. Yeah.
Right.
Very cool. Well, I am really excited about the next episode of our podcast because Barbara is going to be reading us a chapter of the book. So, Barbara, do you know which chapter you're going to be sharing with us and why did you pick that one?
Yeah, I picked how telepathic communication works because I think a lot of people are curious about that and they want to know how they can do this for themselves. So There's so much skepticism, as we've already talked about, and maybe some little understanding of how it works could be helpful for people. So that's why I chose that one.
Great. Thank you. Well, we can't wait to hear it. I mean, I've read it, but I can't wait to hear it told by you, actually, read aloud by you. So that'll be exciting. So everyone who's listening, keep an eye out for that episode. And Barbara, tell us, where can people find you and your book?
They can find me on my website, which is barbarashore.com. And that's B-A-R-B-A-R-A at, no, wait, I'm giving my email, barbarashore.com. And it's also on Amazon, it's on Barnes & Noble, and it should be in bookstores. They can access it anyway around the world. It's published by Ingram Spark, and they have an international network.
Amazing. And we'll make sure that the links to the book and where people can find you are all in the show notes and on our website. So our website is animalsanduspodcast.com. So if you missed any of that, you can also find her information there. So Barbara, before we end off, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience today?
I would like to share a quote from the book that kind of summarizes what I would like for people to take from this book. It's from The Elephants. Humans have the capacity to create or destroy on a larger scale than any other beings. Because of this, they have greater responsibility to care for the earth. This is their gift and their challenge. There is hope for this world, and right now is the time for change, for transformation. Spread light, love, compassion, peace, joy, and hope to all you see every day. This will change everything.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you to the elephants for those beautiful words and for all the wisdom and insights they've shared in this book. Thank you, Barbara, for connecting with them and being the messenger and, you know, the person who could connect with them and bring all of their wisdom to us. And thank you to the audience for joining us for this episode today. We're so happy to have you here. And if you enjoyed this episode, we would love to hear your comments, any feedback you have. You can leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. And also, be sure to connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Animals and Us Podcast. Tell us what you thought and let us know what you're thinking. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast. And before we end off, we would like to share a brief prayer for the animals.
We'd like to end this podcast by taking just a moment to be quiet. And we give thanks and blessings to these amazing animals that we share our lives with. They give us so much and ask for so little in return. We hope that you can keep the animals and all living beings in your heart and in your mind as you go about your day. Thank you so much for being here with us today.